Hi, this is Jonas. Welcome to the Bonsai Wire podcast. Today I'm here with
Cesar Ulises Ordóñez Carvajal.
And I know Cesar from the work he's done in Peter T's garden and from his YouTube channel, SenCal Bonsai for Central California. Where in Central California do you grow bonsai?
So it's kind of hard, I guess, to kind of explain it, but I'm like about an hour southeast of Fresno.
And so how hot is it going to be in your garden? Oof. The next couple days?
It's going to be a little light, little light, 114, I think, 113, something like that, you know, just to get it started.
How in the world do you keep your bonsai healthy when it's 114 outside?
That's a good question, but I have, I believe it's 30 to 40% shade cloth. I'm not sure if it's 30 or 40, because some of it I just got from for free, you know what I'm saying?
But from wherever, yeah.
It's around there, and yeah, all of them are in that, every single tree that I got. And yeah, the soil mix that I use also, I do put a little bit of organic. So I know that shit is crazy, but I do, you know what I mean? Because I need it, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not home all day, every day, so.
So you can't water every hour.
Yeah, I can't do water checks, sadly, you know?
Not so in yet. General, how many times a day will you water when it hits 110, say?
Two for sure.
Two for sure?
Two for sure. And mostly that's it. If I have like the small wow. ones, maybe three times, but that's it. I'll do like the morning. And then, but the morning, I mean, like, I try to do, like, around 8, 9, 10, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
Before it's totally
Because if
hot.
I do it too early, then I would need to probably do it three yeah. times, you know what I mean?
That's right.
So, yeah, I do it 8, 9, and then by 5, 6, just to make sure everything's cool, you know what I mean? I do it because, dude, 5, 6 is blazing, you know what I'm saying?
I recently taught my first workshop out in Fresno, and I was just impressed with every single person who could even keep their trees alive out there.
No, dude, it's
kind of no joke down there.
No, it ain't no joke out there, for real.
So what made you think, oh my God, I need to start growing bonsai? Because that is not a natural response to growing up anywhere.
Right. No, that's, I mean, I can't even explain that, to be honest, because I think about it sometimes, and because a lot of people ask me how I got started in that or what made me like bonsai. And I can't say what, because I really can't remember what it was, but I know for a fact, I'm not going to sit here and say it was a Karate Kid movie, you know, like most people do, because it wasn't, you know what I mean? Because I had watched that movie a couple times, and never once thought, you know, like, oh, well, you know, I want to see what that tree's all about. So I don't know what happened, you know, so I only been doing this for 4 years, so that was 4 years ago, you know, so.
And you saw a small tree, said you're particularly taken with smaller trees?
Right, so yeah, that's basically, now that I know, what got me into bonsai was the Shohin, what it was, like the smaller trees, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's what I remember seeing was somebody with a small tree in their hand, like within a pot, you know, in their hand. So I'm like, well, dude, what the hell, how does this dude got a tree in his hand, you know what I mean? So somehow I looked it up, and so it was a juniper. So that's what got me into it, junipers got me into it. Then later on down the road, I found out about deciduous, so that's a whole different story, you know what I'm saying?
Where were you first exposed to beautiful deciduous trees?
Just online, because I don't know nobody, I didn't know no bonsai, no bonsai people, no bonsai places, you know what I'm saying? Even though in Fresno there is the Clark collection and all that, but yeah. At the time I didn't know nobody, you know what I'm saying, or nothing. So it was just online, literally, just online.
And you thought, ooh, I kind of like these deciduous trees.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were. I didn't know nothing about maples, nothing about nothing, you know. So now I do, but yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. How did you decide how to learn deciduous bonsai?
That's a hard question.
I know, because.
Or maybe you just put it hard for me.
One day you're thinking, oh man, I kind of want one of these. I wonder how you work on those. Like, how did you figure out, how am I going to learn how to grow these things?
Well, I didn't. I mean, you think you do, right? Because you see, like, YouTube videos and stuff. But, like, yeah, I would look up a little bit of YouTube videos. But mainly what it was for me, like, man, I'm, you know, you made me for like a couple times. So, dude, I love this shit, you know? Like, you know what I mean? For real. So, when I found out first junipers, you know, that was the first year. So, I've been doing this for 4 years. That was the first year I found out. And it was nothing but junipers that I was kind of looking at, right, for the uh-huh. first year. And then started kind of just getting deep into the junipers for about 2 years, 3 years. I think around around second year, third year is when I started kind of seeing on Instagram just different posts from people with deciduous trees, you know. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, you know, like, like then I started realizing what a maple was. Like, I tried a maple, a regular, like an elm. I didn't even know what the hell an elm was, you know.
Right.
Like, what the heck, you know. And then these cork things, you know. I'm like, what the hell is this cork elm, you know. Like, dude, this shit's sick.
Right.
So mostly I would get a lot of Peter T's pictures, you know, that he would just be popping on there on the Instagram and everything, you know. So I'm like, dude, who the hell, you know, what is this, you know? So yeah, that kind of, that definitely, I think, was like 75% of the reason I wanted to know what this series was about when I saw Peter T's trees, you know, because that is legit, you know.
And at the time, you had been primarily studying junipers.
Yeah, so I guess a little backstory real quick, that way, you know what I'm saying, get that out of the way. So the first year of my bonsai journey or life or whatever was just me just buying everything you could see in regular nurseries, you know, just like how everybody would do it. Go buy a stick in a pot, nanas and everything. And I would kind of just like, I don't know, the thing about bonsai for me was it was like a big, like, life changer in a sense, to where, like, you know, I was young. Well, right now I'm 28, so I'm still young, you know what I mean? And when I was younger, you know, I was kind of just, well, not even that young, I guess, 4 years ago, right? Because it hasn't even been that long. But, you know, I was off to doing, not bonsai, you know what I'm saying? Other hobbies that weren't probably for the best, you know? So hanging around wrong people and stuff. And which I don't blame nobody but myself. You feel me? That's life, and we all make our choices. But so that one day I seen that one picture of that bonsai, right? So I kind of looked into what it was, and I found out what kind of like the what it was a little bit. So then I had gone to, I think it was at Home Depot, and I bought just a regular Procumbus Nana, like a $30 one, you know? And I remember I reparted it, and I thought I pimped it out, you know? I just hella trimmed it and did all this kind of stuff, made it R&S. And that's how I know, like, dude, first thing, shout out to my parents, because, dude, you know what I'm saying? Without them, you know, I feel like I'm nothing, you know? Like, they support me with anything, and bonsai, they like it, you know? Like, they see that I'm about it, you know what I mean? So they're right there.
Yeah.
But so that's how I know my mom really loves me, because I showed her my first tree, which I have in the cover photo of my Facebook. Dude, that, you know, she said, oh, that shit came out nice, and dude, that thing, you know, if you see it, yeah, that was not nice, you know? But so, yeah, first year was kind of that, and so... when I got that tree, as I was working on it, you know, kind of realized that time passed, basically spent all day doing this tree, you know, trimming the tree, reparting mm-hmm. the tree. And then I noticed that, you know, just time passed. It was, you know, nighttime. Noticed that I didn't have no time to do anything else, you know, but just do that. So, I don't know. I think it was the next day I hit up my mom, which, you know, I'm pretty close to my mom. So, dude, this shit even brought us even closer, you know, because I'm like, dude, let's go to the nursery real quick, you know, because she likes flowers, you know, gardening, yeah. You know. So we went to the nursery, I bought some more junipers, and there we went. About a year later, 6 months or so, I looked into like a local club, you know, like, because somebody hit me up and told me about, you know, you should join a club or something. The only local club was Fresno, which is about an hour away. And so I decided to go, like, the first meeting, which was, I believe it's like September, like the first meeting, because right now they don't have meetings in the summer, you know, something like that. So I was like, yeah, like that was like six months in, you know?
Yeah.
And I go into the meeting not knowing everybody, you know, and first thing I saw was a Trident Maple, though, dude. Oh. And that shit, you know, it got my eye, too, you know. So I was like, damn, you know. After that, I met some dude named Chris. Shout out to Chris and Pat. And so they kind of started showing me, like, they would tell me, hey, there's a show over here. Let's go over here, right? So Santanella, all of those. And then they would introduce me to a lot of people, you know. And they introduced me to David Nui. Mm-hmm. And... that was a year in me being into bonsai, or less, you know, a little less, because I think the convention is like in November or something. I can't even remember. No, it was a showing one in February. So it was.
That's right.
Right. So anyways, I meet David, and the next week I go to David's garden, and that was the first ever garden or bonsai tree I see, oh, like really, wow. Like in person. So, dude, you know what I mean? I was just tripping, you know, like all these, you know what I mean?
That's an impressive garden when you haven't even seen many bonsai.
It's insane, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, I was tripping, and then I told him, you know, I would like to like learn and whatever, you know? So he kind of told me if I wanted to learn that I could go. So then the very next week, I went back, you know what I'm saying? I was about it. So I went back, and I was there for like a whole day. And then I remember I did candle like, a bunch of black pines. That's the first thing I did.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
That first day, you know. So I went back home. He told me I could go back whenever. So I went back for 2 years, once a month for like 2 to 3 days, because he would let me stay over there. You know, good people and shit. You know, and yeah, dude, shout out to them, because you know what I mean, June and David, they're real good people. But yeah, so I went. So basically, David, if you don't know, he's known for California Junipers.
Californias, yeah.
So that's basically all I kind of did. The first year, I did basically nothing but unwiring his Californias because it was around COVID when I started going. So he had no help for like a whole, for like about a year. Right. So a lot of his trees needed unwiring. So he, you know, a lot of people would go in and cap on me and be like, dude, you're doing like the grunt work. But at the same time, I was kind of with it, you know what I mean? Because I liked the fact that I was kind of like, just, I don't know, like messing with these old ass trees, you know? And then like I was going in the branches, like this branch itself is like 50 years old. You feel right. me? Like, you know, right. So it was just trippy. So I did that. And then next thing I know, I noticed like when I got home and just messed around with my trees and I had to unwire a tree, dude, I could unwire a tree like ASAP. You know what I mean? Just unwire a tree was nothing to me, you know? So then I noticed how to wire a tree, you know what I mean? So then I started wiring trees and it was a lot easier, I guess, than if I wouldn't have unwired bunch of California junipers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's actually a great way to learn wiring is if you can unwire trees that were wired by someone who knew what they were doing. And it forces your hand position to be good and it forces you to study the routes the wires took along the branches. And just how to handle the trees. So especially those big California junipers, that's a lot of wiring. So that's, you get to learn a lot just by seeing how he built those things.
Yeah, the fun times.
Those what a great way to start actually hanging out in such a beautiful garden. He's got, I don't know how many it is, but lots of large California junipers on pedestals. And so when you first walk into that garden, you just see juniper, deadwood, and big canopies all over. Dude, and it's legit. Just really impressive.
Hell yeah. I mean, yeah, impressive for sure. Yeah. Well, I was impressed. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was new too, but I was impressed for sure, you know, which was I went back, you know.
And it helps when they're such nice people.
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah.
Everyone knows how great they are.
Yeah, for sure. They're nice. So yeah, I did that for 2 years. So that was like, I was two years deep into that, you know?
And so 2 years, how many hours is that drive from your house down to David's place?
Ah, shit, dude. It was about 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, 5 hours there and then 5 hours
back. 5 hours back, yep.
And so at first I would go one day, but that lasted a little bit. He was kind enough to offer me, you know, a spare room in the back. He's like, dude, if you want to stay, you know, the night or whatever, because, you know, you're driving all that. I was say less, bro. You know what I mean? All I wanted to do was bonsai at the time. So I was asked for like days off work. So I would be there for 2-3 days at least. Nice. You know what I mean? Just working nothing but trees. So yeah, it was legit.
That is awesome. And so that's how you got your foundation in bonsai then is with David. Did you notice that you started seeing different things in your own trees or treating your own trees differently after having worked with David?
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's no doubt. It's like I tell everybody, that I mean, you know, it might not look like it, but I pay attention, you know, so dude, for sure, I feel like, and you know, that's one thing that David also told me, that trees speak for themselves, so yeah, I saw it in my trees, you know what I mean, like, for sure, you know?
And then you decided you just want to keep driving even more, and let's find some more people that live just as far away?
Basically, I basically just wanted to learn more about, so basically I was learning junipers all day, you know what I mean, nonstop. And that's what I loved because that's what got me into it, you know, junipers. Yeah. But it was always that itch to learn a little bit more about deciduous because I would see Peter T posting pictures. I would see, what's his name, Michael Roberts, right? Uh-huh. Is that his name? You know, I would see a lot of people, right? So I'm like, dude, I need me like an elm or something, right? So then I had gone to Peter T's once, Pat again, and Chris took me. Because they went out there to look for some trees. And that's how I met Peter, you know. And then Peter one day said, you know, if you ever want to come back or with more time, you know, or whatever, come back. And it took a couple months, maybe like 3 months, until I hit him up. And I'm like, hey, dude, if you ever need help on something, you know, I'm down to help. You know, I'm just trying to learn some anything, you feel me? So, yeah, he told me to go by. And then I went. And, I guess he fucking liked me or whatever, you know. So we kind of... It was cool, you know. I started going there since it's been a year already, or a little more, yeah.
And he gave you you started out with a juniper test,
right? Yeah. The first time, the first day I went, he had a big old juniper. I mean, I'm guessing it's like 3 foot, you know, like a shimpaku, you know, or maybe it's a kishu. I can't remember now that I think about it. But it's a shimpaku, you know. Uh-huh. It's about 3 foot, and I guess he had got hit by spider mites that summer, so it was looking all raggedy, you know, and he tells me, he goes, hey, well, you know, are you here to help, or you want to help, you know, because he probably thought I was kind of there to just chill, you feel me, but I was like, bro, let's do it, you know, so he goes, well, this juniper, you know, it got hit by spider mites or whatever, So we need to clean it up so that, you know, it could gain vigor, you know, get strength again, take out all the dead stuff, you know, just clean up, you know, clean up the branches, you know? So I'm like, you know, say less, dude. I literally had come off of basically 2 years of doing that, you know what I mean? So I was like, let's go, you know? So I started just cleaning up the tree. And then, yeah, he comes around, like you know, in a bit, checks my work. And, you know, I guess I'm pretty sure I'm guessing he liked it, you know, because he just said, you know, nice or whatever. And then one thing I do feel, though, is, like, I feel like I made his day. Because, bro, when I went, I felt like it was just sadness in there. You know, it was just quiet. You know what I mean? That was all quiet, bro. And I got there, and, like, you know, I was just, you know, talking like we'll be talking right now. And then everybody was just, like, you know, joking around, you know, and everything. So it was a good time. You feel me? So he liked that I was, I guess, fast is what it was. Not that I was good, because I wasn't good. You know what I'm saying? I'm not good, I'm saying. It's just I did it kind of fast and decent. So he's like, oh, he probably thought, like, I didn't know nothing about bonsai or something, right? Which I don't, but I knew a little bit about juniper.
Yeah, you
know
had
what
the
mean?
Practice.
So I cleaned it up, and then he goes, yeah. And then he had, I forgot what he had after he had me work on, you know? So I was able to do that, and I worked on something else, you know? I forgot what it was. But, yeah, that's, I think that's what happened, yeah.
And how long a drive is it to Peter's house from your place?
To Peter's is three hours, but I usually do like 3.5, depending on traffic.
Oh, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's better, yeah. it's a quicker drive. I still go to Davis once in a while, you know? Yeah. So I still go to both places, so I'm still driving.
What did your jaw do when you got to Peter's Garden for the first time?
Oh, dude, for sure. Like, I felt like I literally felt almost like when it was that first day at Davis, when I was seeing all those junipers, but it was like, it wasn't junipers, you feel me? And this is the thing, though. He does have junipers also that they're sick. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I feel like, again, the same because I don't go out often. You know, I don't go to most people's gardens either. But I have an idea of most people's gardens and this and that. So, dude, I knew what I was looking at. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, let's go, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, that's how I feel every time I go to a great garden. It's just exciting to get to see the good trees.
Yeah, for sure. I think every tree is exciting.
They sure can
in itself.
So what have you been learning at Peter's place?
Well, you know, thankfully, ever since I started going, I basically have worked on nothing but deciduous, you know, which is fucking sick
funny.
Because that's what I wanted to learn, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, basically everything that's been, what would you say, like, that you do throughout the seasons, you know, I've been...
whatever the seasonal maintenance
is. Whenever he puts me to do, I'll do it, you know what I'm saying? Defoliate, like, whatever, you know?
Great. Oh, that sounds like fun. And then, considering the traffic, how long does it take to get up here now?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. You would be like almost the same as Peter's, but you're the farthest because of traffic.
Because of the traffic, yeah.
Well, no, actually, no. You're almost as David.
Yeah,
gosh. You're like four and a half, right?
Yeah, it'd be... And without traffic, it'd be a little bit less than
yeah,
that.
No, yeah, no, without traffic, it should be 3.5.
It's hard to find the right time of day to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's never... A wrong time of day for bonsai, you know?
And that's what makes it easy. Yeah. Sun's out, sun's not out, doesn't matter. Well, as long as there's trees.
After this, that's a sad drive, you know? After this, the morning drive is cool.
Well, and what's funny is that just being outside must feel like air conditioning to you this time of year because, you know, it's maybe mid-70s today, low 70s, something like that.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm out here with... Not right now, but I was out here with a hoodie.
Had your hoodie this morning,
which is crazy to even think about because it's not hoodie weather over there where I'm from. You know what I mean?
So you're still looking for more practice with deciduous, then I assume.
Dude, it's not just deciduous. I feel like I'll do anything. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. So it's, like I said, I still go to David's. You know what I mean? Once in a while. Right now, like, well, time is limited. I'm guessing to everybody. You know what I mean? So I try to do the most I can. But yeah, I still go to learn a little bit of everything. Because dude. Come on, 2 years? What's 2 years? You feel me? I need 6 more years, you know, of learning. And even then, I feel like I'm just getting started. You know what I mean?
And so what material are you developing at home right now?
Well, at home, I got probably 90% olives. Just because I'll be collecting olives all the time, you know, because that's where they're at over there, you know?
So are you collecting from old farms, just neighborhoods? Like, where do you find all these things?
All of the above, you know? So I'm... Literally right next to the foothills, right below the foothills.
Ah.
And it's all basically all agricultural land. And back in the day, it probably was nothing but olive groves out there. You know what I mean? So there's just leftover olive, like, seedlings, you know, just bigger ones, too, everywhere, you know. And, Yeah, so I'll get on my truck and just mob around. And so I've been working in agriculture for, what, like 13 years? So I know a lot of people that work in the ranches around me. So it's, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, so I could just go mobbing and
hit them up. Hey, you have any of these old olives on your property?
Yeah, hell yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And how long you been digging the olives for?
Well, probably like...
Is that mostly recent?
I've probably been digging olives for like 2.5 years, 3 years.
Oh, okay.
But only like one here and there for me, you know, like,
gotcha.
Now more like just crazy, like what?
Whatever you get your hands on.
And month to, like probably this year I've just been going crazy, you know, cause.
So do they all live when you dig them?
You know, it's crazy because I would say probably 90% of them live.
Uh-huh.
It depends how I get them, you know, which is kind of weird. Also, what I've been noticing is they themselves are weird in like some of them, like I said, 90% of them make them, and the ones that don't, there was no reason for them not to make them, if it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So they're all healthy to start with.
Right. Yeah.
You don't need many roots, I assume, when you do it.
No. Some don't even have any roots on them, and some take, yeah.
And do you do it all year round or different times a year?
I used to, when I did it just for like here and there, I sometimes would dig them out in winter.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed that, yeah, they don't like to be dug out in winter either. Like either they take a whole year to pop or mm-hmm. they just won't pop.
It seems like hitting them when they're active gives you the best response.
Yeah, dude. Tomorrow there's 114. I could dig one up, pot it up, and you know, it'll be popping in 2 weeks. You know, like,
wow, that's so awesome.
Yeah, they cool. That's why I like olives, because they can handle. But I mean, that's barely something that I got into just because that's what's in my area. That's one thing I learned when I was doing bonsai, and one of the biggest things I feel is you gotta learn what's like around your area, what grows best, right?
Because
like you hear that from everybody, but you kind of don't want to, maybe you're kind of like, nah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to get this tree either way, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
you got to stick with like your local trees because they just grow better, you know what I mean? They grow faster and stronger. And so, yeah, recently I started getting more olives, but yeah, I got everything. I got junipers, bougainvilleas. I started getting into bougainvilleas recently.
They'll grow great where you are.
Dude, yeah, and I love them, so.
Do you protect them in winter?
Oh, yeah, I got a little ass greenhouse, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Yeah, dude, they didn't fit last year. Like, they're barely fat, so I got to figure something out. Because
you get a few freezes where you are, probably, like, right around freezing.
Yeah, well, we get probably lows, like, 26.
Uh-huh.
But not too often.
No, yeah. And it won't stay that cold for too long.
Nah, either. Maybe an hour, 2 hours.
Yeah.
Two hours.
That's a really good temperature for bonsai.
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. Just the heat sucks, but...
Summer's rough.
Yeah.
And so then everything is in shade cloth, your junipers, your olives, everything?
Literally everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that because I have, two, three California junipers. I hear that they could maybe be in full sun, but I don't know. I don't want to risk it because that shit hot out there, you know? I have them in shade.
No, you'd need to be watering them all the time. They need to be in a good size container, maybe bigger specimen, something that's already healthy.
I wouldn't want to risk it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what do you want to learn next? Like, do you have any goals of what you want to do? Like, do you want to, as you spend more time in bonsai, do you have an idea of what you want your collection to look like or what skills you want to learn?
Yeah, I definitely feel like, and dude, I hate to say this shit because I'm hurting my own feelings almost, you know? But I feel like I'm almost gonna have a little bit more deciduous than conifers, you know, like a little,
yeah.
I tend to think junipers a lot more because I've never really dealt with me personally have like a redwood, you know, I never had one, you know, so right. I think a lot about junipers as in like my conifers, you know, so yeah, I feel like I would have a lot more deciduous trees just because, yeah, dude, I love them, you know, like I really like learn to love how they look throughout the whole year, you know, and like the process to make a good decision trees, which I do not have, and hopefully one day I will, you feel me? Because dude, it's legit, you know.
Deciduous are great because they offer the seasonality. You can tell what time of year it is by looking at them.
Yeah, and after being to the Pacific Expo too, dude, what was it, that Hawthorn too? Sheesh, bro, I'm telling you, I need me some more deciduous because all I got right now is two elms, which those are not the best, mm-hmm. which another thing, I don't even get the best colors anyway where I'm from, you know what I mean? So that's not something I truly like, but I feel like who knows where life takes me, and I don't know, I don't think I'll be there forever, you feel me? So hopefully I get somewhere where I can get a little bit more color, you know?
Now, one thing you are lucky about is even though you've driven a long, long way to learn bonsai, you happen to live very close to one of the bigger growers on the West Coast.
Oh, yep. Ed Clark.
Yeah, Ed Clark, Round Valley. Have you been down to his place?
Yeah, I was there like 2-3 weeks ago because I ran out of, what do you call it, Black Lava Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got fucking piles of that, you know? So I want to go get some of that. But not really tree shopping just because right now I don't got the funds for that. You know what I mean? I'm kind of just, yeah, not trying to buy too many trees right now. You know, matter of fact, I'm selling trees, you know, because I don't need that many, you know? But yeah, he's like an hour and probably 10 minutes from me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I'm out there in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
he is too, though.
Yeah, neither of you all are close to a whole lot right there. That general, everyone says Fresno, but it's really like up to an hour outside. Right?
Yeah,
of that.
Yeah. I'm not from Fresno. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. but I'm around there. Yeah, yeah. No, Ed Clark, dude. I've been there maybe what 3 times, and every time you do not have enough time in the day to.
So for people who haven't been, tell us how big is Ed's place?
Shh, dude, you know I've been wondering this because I should have a rough idea of how much acres it is because it's acres.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not hundreds of
square
trees.
Feet. It is, you know what I mean?
Thousands.
Yeah,
of
he
trees.
Got thousands of every tree you want. Thousands of tridents, thousands of maples, thousands of junipers, thousands of black pines.
And it's just as hot where he lives.
Oh, it's hot. Yeah, same shit. Yeah, it's just.
But
as
yeah,
hot.
He's got pomegranates and pines and junipers. He's got all kinds of stuff, and it, he just. Some of it's out in the sun, some of it's in greenhouses, but I'm not shade cloth, but the stuff just goes, man.
Yeah, yeah, he definitely knows what he's doing, because, dude, I mean, he's only been growing stuff for who knows how long, right?
Long time, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, every time I go, I trip out, because he's got all kinds of stuff, you know, even stuff that's supposed to be harder to have out there, he's got it, you know what I mean?
And he's got a lot of field-grown stuff, so he's one of the few growers that has a lot of stock with trunks on him.
Yeah, a lot of trunks.
Lots of trucks.
Yeah, you need time. You need time. When you go, if you're going to go to Ed Clark's, you need time. For real. Like, you need at least, I would say, 3 to 4 hours at least. You know what I'm saying? Because you need to take time.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine, last time he went down there, he has to almost plan to spend a night in the area because it's hard to drive to Ed from anywhere and spend half a day there. So
that's facts, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's kind of fun. You're in this funny spot where you're not close to anything, but you're not terribly far away from a lot of different things.
Well, I'm in SoCal.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm in the middle of everything. Middle East, basically.
And so what made you think, you know what? I need to start up a YouTube channel.
Oh, dude, well, that's a whole ass different story. That actually has nothing to do with me trying to, like, actually try a YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
It was more of me, I hear people talk about how they have logs for their trees, right? Like, logs, like, I fertilize this. But I ain't got time. Like, I'm not, even if I do get the time, I ain't going to be doing that. You know what I'm saying? So I thought it would be cool. I told my cousin one day, you know, I was chilling with my cousin, and he's not into puns. I was just chilling with him. I was like, hey, bro, I was thinking, what if I just start a YouTube channel and start just recording some of the trees that I have, and just for like in the future we'll go back and look at it, you know, and just to see what it was, you know. And that's literally how it started. So I think like in a week after I made it, the first video of like all my trees, you know, and yeah, it's been, I don't know how long it's been, like 3 years maybe.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, nice. I started it when I didn't know like zero about bonsai, and I still don't, but I know a little bit more, you know, than when I started it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's cool to go back and look at when I first started it, like the trees. And yeah, man, I definitely saw it different, you know?
Well, that's what's funny is it when you share, whether you're doing it in writing or talking about it or even in video, it's not that you're sharing or telling what to do, you're more sharing what you are doing. And so it's more, hey, this is where I am now, this is what I'm working on, and come along and have fun.
Yeah, basically, that's what it turned into.
And so even when you're just starting out, it can be great to kind of record the progress of that. And like you say, it's a great way to look at your collection because it can be fun to go back in time and see.
Yeah, that's mainly what it was. And now it's even more cool to look at you know, random people commenting on my videos, you know, it's kind of cool, you know? So, like, whatever likes I get, I think it's cool because it's, like, it's just, I don't know, somebody stumbled across a random-ass video of this random-ass dude, you know what I'm saying? And fucking liked it, and then who knows, subscribers. Dude, I got 400 subscribers. It ain't a lot, but that's a lot in my book.
But if they were all standing in one room, that would be a lot.
Hey, for real, that's a lot.
And so that means there's 400 strangers that know the names of your dogs.
For real. Yep, they're out there.
Oh, that is so cool. I still have yet to start doing that. So you're way ahead of me in the video game.
Well, yeah, no, because my videos are straight raw. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I...
Oh, you actually throwing little edits in there.
Yeah. Those are, like, the edits I do. I throw a little meme in there or something, you know? But, you know, that brings me to, you know, shout out to everybody that makes YouTube videos because, dude...
So much work.
That's tough. Editing is not fun, like, at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I hated that. I still do, but I still do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The little bit I do, because I don't do that much. My shit.
Can you do it on your phone? Do you do it on a computer?
Yeah, I do it on my phone. It's
that
on my
is
phone.
So cool.
I record on my phone. I edit it on my phone. It's like a little app I have, and I upload on my phone too, you know?
That's awesome.
Technology nowadays.
Yeah. Well, I noticed that you have, it's artful how you frame some of your shots. Like, it won't just be a boring tree in the middle. The tree will be off to the side a little bit, or there'll be a nice shadow on a wall behind it, or there's always some little... There's something little where you're not just showing us what you're doing. You're making it look like a video, which is nice.
Oh, well, you know, here's what's trippy, too, though. This is what I like about recording outside, because that's just outside.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, I can't...
Whatever the light is, that's
yeah,
what
it is.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's not like me doing that. That's just, like I just said, raw footage, you feel me? No edit. That's just what...
And if you want to see raw, unfiltered bonsai talk, I'd say...
Yeah, my yeah, for sure. Warning, my videos aren't for the lighthearted, you know what I'm saying? Because we out here doing work, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
We got to do what we got to do, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I'm doing it.
I enjoyed the Elm video in the, quote, big-ass pot, I think, that was in the, like... I forget if it was in a flat or a cement mixing bucket or something.
Flat or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, by the end of it, it's in a pot. It's been trimmed and
yeah, that's definitely one of my favorite trees. And as a matter of fact, I got that from Ed Clark.
Oh, cool.
Back, dude, that was like a long time ago. Two years for sure.
Yeah.
Because when I got it, I remember I was even scared to repart it. I left it in the because he had, you know, he field grows his stuff, but inside the pots, a lot of them, you know.
Yeah.
So he was in that pot for. He told me like. 13 years or something, like 15 years or something. But I was scared to repart it.
Well, because it looked old for its size. It actually had nice bark on it.
Yeah, I have it on Instagram how old it was. But yeah, it was pretty old. So I was scared to repart it. And I left it. It was completely root bound, you know. But I left it until the next spring. I was like, dude, I think it's about that time. And when I wanted to go repart it, I was still scared. So I didn't repart it right. And yeah, that's what the whole video was about, basically.
So how did it grow after that?
Dude.
Just fine?
Oh, yeah. It's stuck in right now.
That's because it's an elm, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I basically semi-defoliated the other day because it popped off. Yeah.
Oh, good. How much? So, I don't have anywhere near the heat you do. You can get insane amounts of growth from trees in a single year. Like, if you've got a little olive 1 foot tall, how long can a shoot grow in 1 year?
Oh, dude, that's a good question because
you're probably trimming it more than that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because
do you have any sacrifice branches?
No, definitely. I have a lot of like the little sumos that I'm working on myself that I left sacrifice branches on. Dude, but I would say...
So if you leave it alone for, say, 2 months, this time of year, how long would you expect something to get in 2 months?
Oh, dude, for sure. I would say a foot, but I feel like, what's a foot?
Yeah, it might be double that.
Yeah, it might be more than that, actually. Yeah, no, dude, that's one thing that I feel like we're lucky also with people over there that do bonsai is we do have a long-ass growing season, you know, so...
If you can keep it healthy in that heat, they grow like crazy.
Yeah, that's nice. And if you know what you're doing, which I don't, I feel like if somebody knew what they were doing, they could make a tree real quick out there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so did you ever go to Kenji's nursery?
No.
He probably moved, right, when you were starting.
Yeah, I hear a lot about him, but he moved like I think a couple years right before I got
right
started.
Around that time. I forget, it was 4 or 5 years ago he moved to Georgia.
Yeah.
He was in Visalia before, which isn't too far away.
Yeah, I heard he
got crazy fast growth on some of his trees. His Chojibai grew so fast down there.
Olives are crazy grow, but I have some rosemary that I've been working on, dude. Those things grow, dude. Fast, bro. Like, those things grow fast. And I love them because they were just $5 nursery. You know what I'm saying? Everything grows fast, you know?
So, fast forward, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. When you submit your first tree to the expo, what kind of tree is it going to be?
Damn, that's a good question because I don't even know. I mean,
you may not even have that tree yet.
Exactly. That's why I don't even know because right now, like I said, I'm focused on getting rid of my. So in 3 years, I've been buying nothing but basically regular nursery, you know, stock from regular nurseries. You know what I'm saying? So I've been getting rid of all my stuff, and I feel like it's about that time in my life for my bonsai life to start getting a little more serious in terms of like trunks and you know, now that I know a little better what to look for. Or what makes a better tree or a better trunk, Yeah, I need to get rid of all the you know, stuff that you obviously know ain't going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
So what do you know now that you didn't know then? Or maybe another way, what do you wish you knew when you got started?
I wish I knew how time flies, bruh. Because when I first started, you know what I'm saying? You hear all this like, oh, do this, do that. Oh, but next year, do you know? And you're thinking, oh, next year, bro. Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Next year. Bro, next year, you know, tomorrow's next year. You feel me? And if you're into bonsai, you don't got one tree. Usually you got 5, 10, you know, 15 trees. So, dude, you're working on other trees. Next thing you know, it's been that year. So I feel like now when I go to buy trunks, I definitely know that I'm buying the trunk and it's all good. You feel me?
Well, you said something important there, which is you're buying the trunk. You're not buying the tree. You're knowing that if you buy a trunk, you can grow the branches yourself. Like, right. That's the fun part. You know how to do that.
Yeah, and yeah, dude, after also, since I've been going to Peter's a bit, working on those, seeing all the, like, the huge-ass sacrificial branches out there, too, you know, and working on some of those, dude, my elms got, like, probably, like, I don't even know, 4-5-footers, you know, 6-footers on them, you know, like.
I think Peter's garden probably has some of the best examples of sacrificed branches in the country that facts. I know of, because he's got he loves big trees, and so he's got these big trunks with beefy bases on them, man. So how big does that first branch have to be?
Right.
And so he has full benches where the lowest branch might be 5-6 feet long, and then growing a new apex, it also might be 5-6 feet long. And so it's a really, you get to see more steps of the process with more different kinds of species. Junipers, you can kind of get them to silhouette, move them where you need to, and that's kind of that. But for those deciduous trees, the broadleaf evergreens, like your oaks, your bougainvillea, you kind of have to build them. And Peter's is just a great lab for seeing how to do that.
Hell yeah. And I feel like that's probably the main reason I said I might have a little more deciduous than conifers whenever I do have a nice garden or whatever. Yeah. Is because, dude, I learned to really love. Dude, when I go home and like see my elm with those 5-footers, those 5-footers, I'm like, bro, hell yeah. You feel me? Like, those 5-footers give me joy. Like, I forget about the elm. You know what I'm saying? Like, the elm's over here. The 5-footer's over here. You know, like, dude, let's go. Like, that 5-footer one day is going to get chopped down to, like, 2-3 inches.
That's
and
right.
Who knows, you know?
It's going to keep on going.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel like I love the process more now, which is why I feel like I could buy, you know, I want to buy better trunks. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dude, hell yeah, let's do it.
Because if you're going to invest the time, if it's the same work, whether it's a good trunk or a bad trunk, if you can find a way to make a good trunk as your starting point, you're going to end up with a great tree.
Yeah, hell yeah. You know, one of the things that I feel like helped me, not helped me, but one of the cool things that I learned early on also was that, you know, we most people here in America that start bonsai, we go to regular nurseries like I just mentioned that I did, right? In regular nurseries nowadays, you don't find those big ass procumbents like you guys did, or not you,
right.
You know, other people did back in the day.
That's,
you know,
right.
And so all these thinner trunks, and people want to make these bigger trees, right? Which is cool, right? But I learned that sometimes you got to work with what you got, you know what I'm saying, or with what you get. So the ratio of the size of the trunk to the size of the tree matters a lot when the trunk is only an inch.
That's right.
You know what
I'm saying? Don't have as much flexibility for those tiny little trunks.
So I feel like that in itself was cool, because then I realized that, you know what I mean, like, kind of what you really needed to make more of a nicer looking tree to your eye, you know, than just like a stick and just 2 foot long with nice foliage or nice silhouette. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And I've actually seen that same kind of thing in a lot of parts of the country where, when people get started, as they learn really good techniques, they start building nicer and nicer branches and silhouettes on the trees. But if the starting point was really modest, you only end up with a really pretty tree that may not have that same character. And so it's not just the size. You've got to look for those trunks that have whatever the character you like, the movement. Do you feel like you're a much better gauge of the movement you're looking for, or the character, the bark, the scars, the whatever on the trunks?
Yeah, for sure. Especially in the sense where like you know, in the beginning you want the most movement. You feel me? Now I like a little more subtle movement. You know what I'm saying? I like something just kind of cool with it, not too much, because I feel like ain't nothing too much out here. You know what I'm saying? When we're out here in the wilderness and in the mountains, ain't nothing too wild.
It's not all rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So Yeah, I don't know. I kind of learned to like the smaller curves, you know? The
quieter trees.
The quieter turns, you know?
Yeah. I actually think some of your olives will be coming along pretty quickly. You've got a bunch of short, fast taper, beefy trunks. And if those things grow fast, you should be able to get a good silhouette on those in 2-3 years and then get nice density on those pads in another 2-3 years. So it might actually be pretty quick when you've got some really nice show-ready olives in there for that kind of small medium size.
Right. Yeah, I feel like, I feel like hopefully I keep on learning how to do it. And, yeah. And if I do, I feel like that's probably how long it'll take, which seems like a long time, but it's not really. You feel me?
Well, we're going to be doing something for the next 5 years. If we're lucky enough to be around in 5 years, and exactly, we're going to be doing something with our time. So
yeah, for when I had some of the ones I've been working on for 2 years, I feel like for 2 years, they're pretty cool, coming along pretty cool. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yes, for sure. As long as you've got the branches where you need them, then the rest is just the fun part.
Yeah, you keep on trucking.
So what do you want to see at the next expo? Like, you got another year and a half. What are... You said you enjoyed the event. What would you love to see at the next one?
Oh, dang, that's a good question. Because, dude, I don't know, bro. Because when I went, I didn't know what I was expecting to begin
with.
No,
you had no idea. You hadn't been to many shows at that time.
Especially that. So I just probably joined. I started Bonsai or started getting into a real series probably at the worst time, which was around COVID.
Yeah.
There was literally no shows for like 2 years, right?
That's
right. Or three. So, yeah. That was like one of the first. I forgot what. I went to a show, but it was like a club show that I went to. So that was definitely the first time I went to something legit. And dude, I don't know. I'm thinking of that question. I can't think of nothing. You know what I'm saying? Because that to me, that was legit all the way around. I feel like, I mean, dude, yeah, there was nothing I would change. I don't think. I mean, I feel like definitely, if the world was perfect, there would be room for more vendors. But that's literally it.
But in terms of like the bonsai you want to see on display, like in the exhibit, are there some species you want to see? Or are there some styles or sizes?
Oh, nah, dude. I feel like, you know, most of the stuff that kind of how you said that you wanted to have a lot of, domestic trees or whatever you want to call it, right? Yeah. Dude, I'm with it. You feel me? Like, I like all that. I do like how like, I like imported trees because of dude, that was, most of them is like done almost legit. You feel me? It's like kind of what you want to do or what you think of sometimes, right? But dude, we're in the West Coast, you feel me? Like, I feel like you're right. I love how we have the redwoods, you feel me? Because dude, like, to me it felt like, I don't know, more of a, definitely a home, how would you say that, like an American bonsai show, you feel me?
Yeah, it's a different feeling when you show off the species that grow in that area. It's something that other areas will just, their shows will be different because they'll have different trees in those shows too. And it just makes it a little more exciting when you see things you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And so we're lucky. We've got a good history of that, showing oaks and redwoods, but there are different kinds of oaks. And as you travel around, you get to see maybe the deciduous trees have a little different branch pattern, or maybe the oaks have a little different bark or different something.
Yeah, it was definitely cool to see. Cool to see everybody's work. You feel me? Like, how many people there's doing bonsai legit? You feel me? Like, you're looking at these trees, and these trees are all legit. Like, there's no, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way around it. You
those
know
trees
I mean?
Aren't accidentally looking the way they look.
Exactly. You feel me? So it's cool to know that. I don't know. I guess there's a lot more people than you would think. You know.
Now, one thing you probably learned way less about just working on whatever trees you could find were the display aspects. And so when it comes to pots and stands, like, did that mean anything to you? Does that add much to the show, or are you still like, whatever?
In terms
fine.
Of stands, I'm not there yet. You feel me? Like, I like a stand and I don't like a stand. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But in terms of pots and trees, for sure. You know what I mean? I could pick what I like or what I don't like, but I also feel like with pots, almost all of them are nice, if that makes any sense. When they're paired up with the tree, they're paired them up for a reason, especially at the show, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they each have their own aspect to it. So, I don't know, I feel like the pot is just like the tree, to where, like, it has its own personality, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. I like all colors, shapes, and sizes. You feel me?
And that'll probably change as you get going, where you start to look at the same tree in different containers. Maybe you notice the trunk more. Maybe you notice the branches more. Maybe you notice flowers more, the foliage more. And that, just the more you repot, the more you'll get to find out, oh, I like the way the yellow looks on that one. Or maybe the more brown looks on that one.
Right, right. Yeah, I need to do more bonsai.
And so Peter's house would be a good example of that, because you can see all those show level trees where you can kind of take advantage of all that.
Yeah, yeah. No, half the time I'm mind blown when I'm out there.
Understandably. So today I think I found one of the most challenging trees for you to work on all day long, and you're still smiling somehow. Did you go cross-eyed at all while I worked on that?
Shit, not that. Well, I can't see my eyes, so I don't know if I did or not, but nah, I mean, I try to do as best I could, but that thing is huge, so we out here, you know?
Since I worked on a large azalea, I'll try to include a picture on it with the episode to see, but it's a really dense azalea. I mean, we have really big, dense trees of any species. That usually means lots of little cuts to get to the density you want. And
definitely thousands of branches.
Yeah, and you just kind of attacked it and started at one end until you got to the other end.
Hell yeah, hey, we got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. Now, do I have to stay up all night to finish that, or can I worry about finishing it some other time?
Well, I don't know. That's on you. You want to stay up? You want to stay up or not?
No, I want to sleep. I definitely want to sleep.
tomorrow's Friday.
It's a problem. All right. So we know what's next for you. We know what you want to do. What else might you want to say to bonsai people who are getting started out there?
I don't know.
Because you're such a fun story of... You really did it on your own. You did not have anyone in your backyard next door. You know, I grew up 5 blocks away from where Boone lived. I had some easy teachers really, really close by.
Yeah, and that was, that's funny. Yeah, because, dude, I think about it sometimes, and I don't know how the hell, you know, I don't know nobody near that knew anything about bonsai, you know? So it was pretty cool that, I don't know, I found it, and I'm glad I found it. You feel me? Because it definitely, I feel like I made nothing but great people through it, you know, nothing but good people. So yeah, I feel like, yeah, if you're barely starting, you better keep on going, because you know what I'm saying, it's a good hobby, I feel, and a good community for sure.
It's a great community. I think that's one big reason why people keep sticking with it.
Yeah, dude, I love the trees, I love bonsai, but yeah, I've made hella good friends, so that's a plus, you know what I'm saying?
That's solid.
People that I never would have been chilling with if it wasn't for bonsai. I feel completely different people, but we out here.
So where can people find you on Instagram or YouTube?
Well, it's fairly easy. For Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, it's literally Sankow Bonsai, all lowercase. I might take that back. I think for Facebook, it's not all lowercase, because the way you have to, you know, write it down.
C-E-N-C-A-L,
Sankow? C-E-N-C-A-L,
Sankow Bonsai.
Sankow Bonsai, Central California Bonsai, because we out here.
And then you'll see what Cesar is up to.
Yeah, just a little, nothing special, you feel me? Just somebody that barely getting started. But exactly. I feel like this is just the beginning to a lot more trees in my future, you know?
Well, that sounds fantastic. Thank you so much for chatting today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, take care.
Yep.
The music on today's podcast was brought to you by the fine folks at Blue Dot Sessions. Check them out at www.sessions.blue.